Hey, we welcome you to another Sports Look edition here on Care Radio. So good to have you along with us. Got to thank our Sports Look sponsors, Taco John's and Skyway Vapes, Exchange Bank, Mueller's Locker Room, and Gerber Electric. Tom Couts here, Gus Couts to my left, and as we look at the upcoming sports schedule, Gus, wait a minute, it's blank. What in the world is going on here?
Quite barren this upcoming week, right? But the following week, we'll get right back into it again.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. There is no local sports on Care Radio this week because basketball has ended. We're going to be talking about how it came about. And, then we'll have Benedictine football a week from now as spring football is going to be underway. And then the march, hopefully, to the NAIA football championship series. But that said, let's just jump into segment one. And, you know, since they got them all in the books, and congratulations to Keisha and all these schools for getting to the state tournaments and getting those tournaments completed, we need to have a little tip of the hat to the champions across the state in high school basketball this year. What do you say?
Didn't it feel just nice to conclude the season, have state champions? I mean, some people liked the no third place game, just award a third place medal and trophy. Some people didn't. But at the end of the day, we have champions.
There were champions, and it was not like a year ago when suddenly they walked in and pulled the plug and shut off the lights and didn't go home.
And you start looking at some of these champions, I mean, there were a lot of games played by some of these teams this year. So, you know, hats off to the schools, the administrators, the, you know, Keisha, the officials, all of it. I mean, just putting together what I would consider is a successful basketball season.
Well, it was certainly successful for her. Let's go, let's just, you want to do by class or go by girls and then boys? What do you want to do?
Let's go by class.
Okay. Well, Division 1A, D2, and Central Plains defeats Cunningham 39-35 on the girls' side. So, Central Plains, very familiar to the state championship.
They've hoisted a few of those in their day, right?
Yes, yes. When was the last time you were in Cunningham? Really? Just northwest of Kingman, a few miles. Right out there in the middle of Kingman County.
Yeah.
So
let's just give it to Colorado, right?
There you go. In Division One or in 1A Division Two, boys, it was Hanover, just right up the road, a state championship as they knocked off McPherson, Elira Christian, 52-40. So Hanover, big win.
I have been to Cunningham as many times as I have been to Hanover.
Is that right?
That's correct.
You are on a roll here in the early going.
I'm knocking them out.
1A Division One. You're not going to know if I'm talking about the girls or the boys.
Right.
Because the girls' state champion is Olpe. Lady Eagles winning over Norwich 42-25. The 1A Division One boys' state champion is Olpe as they knocked off Montezuma, South Gray County. That's way out west. And Olpe won that one 54-47. So Olpe, one of those special, special years where boys and girls both win a state title.
Yeah, and that happened twice this year.
And they're not the only school to do that.
That's not the only school that swept.
And by the way, the Opie girls, number one, they were number one all season, and in the year 25-0. I don't know how it gets much better than
that. Can you believe there were only three teams this year that finished with an unblemished mark?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, also, by the way, the Opie boys were the number three seed coming into the 1A Division One tournament. They are the only not number one seed to have won a boys' state championship.
It's craziness.
2A, let's start with the 2A girls. I don't know, it kind of crosses back and forth.
It does, yeah.
The 2A girls champion is Sterling. They knocked off the St. Mary's Colgan Panthers 52-36. So Sterling, Lady Black Bears, number one seed, coming in and win the state title.
Yeah, and in class 2A on the boys' side, the Cinderella story ended.
It did, but man, I became, having seen them and they kind of knowing a little more about them and visiting with the fans, I became quite the Wabunsee fan.
Yeah, I think after they got by Valley Falls in that first game, all of a sudden, people around the state were kind of looking at that as the darling, as a Cinderella story.
Well, even when they got out of their sub-state, they started the season, what was it, 1-10? 1-9?
Yeah, I was going to say they won their first game and then maybe lost their next, like, 8 or 9 games, and then
And they came out of the sub-state, and suddenly people are looking around. And the good news for them, the sub-state, you know, was close to home, and they were able to secure that win, and off they went.
Yeah, then they turned around, and they beat Valley Falls.
Yep.
And then once they got to the state tournament, they knocked off the number one team in the state, and everybody's like, oh, watch out, because now they're above 500.
For the first time all year.
Yeah, and then they lose the state title game. But even at that, you got second in the state, you finished the season 500.
And you did what coaches tell teams all year long. You everybody gets in the tournament, you just got to get better and better as the season goes on, and it'll pay off. It did for them.
Yep, get hot at the right time. So
congratulations to the Chargers.
Yeah, but Hillsborough coming away with a 59-50 win in that ball game.
So it's not like Hillsborough just ran away with that.
Right. Saturday, we were headed home from Wichita and caught the end of this game as it was Cheney knocking off Sabetha 60-54 in that matchup. What, Cheney, the number one team in the state of Kansas in Class 3A, and they finished with a sparkling 25-0 record.
It just is so hard to become a 25-0 team. Heston came in, the number one seed in 3A boys, and they knock off Galena 45-36. So the Threshers are the champions of Class 3A boys.
One of my favorite logos, right?
Yeah, you like that?
I don't know why, but I've always
liked it. It's because there's no other one.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably it, you know?
There are no other Threshers, I don't suppose.
I mean, it's not quite a Tiger, but it's a close second.
Now, back at 1A, if you remember Division 1, we had the Olpe Twin Champions, boys and girls. Let's move to the Bicentennial Center, if I can still call it that.
You could have fast-forwarded through the 4A state tournament because I think when the season started, we kind of expected this. As the season progressed, we saw it was trending that way, and then there was no problem once you got to the Bicentennial
Center. Nope. 4A girls, it was Bishop Miege defeating McPherson 51-36. Bishop Miege, the number one seed, went on to win their, what, probably fifth? Is this maybe their fifth or sixth straight state title? And then it goes all the way. Lexi Viegas won state championship at Miege.
Yeah.
I mean, so that kind of gives you some kind of a time frame. 4A boys, Shawnee Mission Bishop Miege, the number one seed, and they get by Lewisburg in the state title game, 94-40. How do you win a state title game by over 50 points?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people around the state asking that same question.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Bishop Miege, Stags, Lady Stags, congratulations. 5A. The 5A girls found Andover Central losing to St. Thomas Aquinas. Aquinas winning at 52-44. Aquinas, the number two seed, taking the state title. And in 5A boys, Topeka West got there. Got that close. But it was Mays winning 55-43. And again, Mays, a number one seed that panned out.
Class 6A, on the ladies' side, Shawnee Mission Northwest, Shawnee Mission Northwest was a one seed, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And finishes 23-0 as they knock off the Topeka High ladies, 61-54, so a close game there. And then on 6A boys' side, how about the number four seed? Blue Valley North knocked off Campus, 67-59, and you know, a four is the lowest you could have seen win the state tournament just because we only saw four teams move in. Do you kind of miss seeing that, you know, six seed come through?
Yeah, you do. I don't know. And I'm not sure that it'll ever come back again. Again, it's going to be very interesting. We'll talk about this with the NEIL. So it'll be interesting to see if this regional thing kind of takes a hold, just like Division II did. You know, Northwest has moved on now finally to the state or to the national championship in D2 because they play these regionals.
Yeah, and I think that that's going to be something that, you know, Fran and the rest of the committee are going to have to sit down and talk about because, you know, there are pros and cons both ways, and I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do and how they decide to push forward in the future with the state tournament. I mean, this is kind of an interesting experiment, if nothing else, this season.
Well, again, congratulations to all of the state champions, and congratulations to all the participants and all the teams around the state. They got games in. They've followed protocols. They made the best of difficult situations. Congratulations on no matter what your record was, what I would consider a successful basketball season. Sport Look continues here on K-Radio. We got lots of stuff to talk about. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Look here on K-Radio. Got high school basketball in the books, but the NAIA has begun just a few hours ago. The national tournament in Kansas City, Missouri, Municipal Auditorium. Even though the field is a little bit smaller, I mean, it still gets the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday kind of effect. And they changed the logo a little bit to 16 teams and one champion. So it's still an exciting time. And Heart of America Athletic Conference has a survivor in, you know, in the guys' side.
Yeah, one survivor in the guys' side, two on the ladies', but by tomorrow, there'll be one team left on both.
Okay, let's start with the ladies, because the championship's back at Sioux City, Iowa, and frankly, been to all of them and all of the locations, it does not belong anywhere probably other than Sioux City, although the Independence, Missouri location was really, really outstanding when they were there.
Yeah, Independence was nice. You know, I was talking to Josh the other day, I kind of forgot when it was in Franklin, Tennessee,
for one or two years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that was the one that I kind of forgot about a little bit.
But that said, the final 16 teams are in Sioux City, and the Heart of America Athletic Conference has both Clark and Mid-America making the cut. Because if I am the Heart, and again, I question Heart leadership constantly because I think they make some incredible decisions that are not necessarily the greatest decisions, but the Heart should be jumping up and down. They should be protesting this. How does your conference put two teams in the national tournament and then have them forced to play one another game one? I mean, are they worried that they're going to get three in the national final four like they did a few years ago?
I would say to an extent, but here's the deal. So what they did is took the 16 teams that were left,
mm-hmm.
placed them 1 through 16. Okay. And then it was easy from there. 1 plays 16, 8 plays 9, 4 plays 13, 2 plays 15.
Right.
And the problem was, I'm going to tell you that the sheer numbers probably came down to Clark's a 7 and Manx a 10. I mean, I really think at the end of the day, that had the most to do with it.
So you don't think that there was somebody who sat down and said, you know, this is how it is? Although it would have been very easy for someone to have sat down and said, oh, I look at this bracket, and you know what? I think Clark should be a 6 or an 8 seed, or Mid-America should be a 9 or an 11 seed. I mean, we could bump one notch and let them run a couple of games without having to meet for the, fourth time this year?
Yeah, and I think the only thing is that, you know, once you ranked them, then you would just have to make sure that they at least were on the same side of the bracket.
See, this ranking is so arbitrary anyway.
It's just a group of people in a room. I mean, saying, well, I think you're a 6. Well, but why am I not a 5?
Somebody should have fought for it.
Yeah.
As bottom line.
I get where you're at there. I mean, so today at 8 p.m., you're going to have Clark in Mid-America up in Sioux City, Iowa. I mean, that's much closer probably to Clark. That might even split the difference.
Yeah,
really.
It's very
easy for either one. Mm-hmm. I mean, so. But nonetheless, those two teams are going to play the 8 o'clock game. You know, a handful of teams throughout this bracket that you know we're familiar with over time. Sterling,
Kansas, is Sterling the city of champions?
3 o'clock one. Yeah, maybe. Marion, Indiana's got Concordia, Nebraska. You've got Morningside versus St. Francis, Illinois. Not St. Francis, Indiana, St. Francis, Illinois. Westmont out of California is the 2 seed. They'll take on Lyon, Arkansas. 3 seed, no surprise here. Campbellsville, Kentucky. They find themselves there all the time. Lewis and Clark State. They were one of those teams that had a home pod, right?
Yep.
Like that pod was at their gymnasium. Again, it's one of those things that, you know, little home cooking, got the 14 seed through. And then Southeastern Florida, who hosted that tournament down there in Lakeland, Florida, they got through, and they'll take on Indiana Wesleyan tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
See, and again, and this is just me, I guess old and grumpy, you know, you say I have that going on sometimes, but the number one seed is Thomas More, Kentucky, okay? They're a really good team. But they get the first game of the first round of the first day game. I would think a number one seed we'll get more of a primetime game, moving it to that 6 or even better, that 8 o'clock game. But instead, the conference decides to put the home team at the 8 o'clock primetime game, and they bring Morningside in to play St. Francis of Illinois. Not St. Francis, Indiana, St. Francis, Illinois, at 8 o'clock on the Friday game.
Because that's the only people that are going to show up, right? Well, but for Morningside, that's a home game.
Yeah.
That is their gymnasium. Yes. They're going to play it there.
It's their
and
town.
They're going to put a lot of people in there, as many as probably the facility is going to allow this year. So, yeah, I mean, it's no different than when Benedictine is in Kansas City at Municipal. They were getting the primetime game because you want to make it as convenient as possible. You want to sell those tickets. Because at the end of the day, you got to make a little money.
That's, you know what it's all about. We've always say, follow the money. How about on the guys' side, huh? Yeah, the Heart of America Athletic Conference with a single representative. And they're in the list and bracket. And number 2 seed, they deserve to be that. Maybe they might even deserve to be better than that. But we'll see how good Indiana Wesleyan really is. But William Penn is going to get that primetime game, what they deserve, Friday at 7:15. They're going to bring some people. The Saints are not bringing anybody.
Yeah, well, though maybe.
Maybe one.
Yeah, there might be one.
There is one Carroll fan that we know who is going to be there wearing his purple Saints shirt.
Yeah, I mean, you look up and down the guy's side. So let's just start up in the Naismith bracket. The number 1 seed, Indiana Wesleyan, is going to get Bethel, Indiana. That'll be a Thursday 7:15 game. You're going to have Stillman in the 8-9 game against St. Francis of Indiana. So St. Francis will play, played a little earlier today. The 3:45 game is Bethel out of Kansas, taking on number 5, Shawnee State. Faulkner in Jamestown meet up in the Kramer bracket on Thursday, 5:30. Friday, 3:45, it's number 3, Lewis and Clark State versus Oklahoma Wesleyan. In the Dewar bracket, the 6:11 is Marion, Indiana versus Loyola, Louisiana. And then in the Liston bracket, for the 5:30 game tomorrow, it's Sagu versus Morningside. And then William Penn versus Carroll. And can I tell you, I just don't see a path that doesn't set up for William Penn to at least get to that round of 4.
Oh, absolutely, and maybe better. And
is this the year that John Henry finally gets it?
Yes.
I mean, he's been absolutely there so many times, but I feel like, and we talked about this a little bit when Benedictine played William Penn in the conference title game. This isn't as loaded as a team as Coach Henry's had, like with the Division I players. I mean, you still have quite a few of them. But this might be his best team because you're bringing back a lot of seniors, you're bringing back a lot of experience. So I think this could be the year that the Heart gets another national champion.
And as I look through the brackets for both the boys and girls, I only see one school who has sent both a men's and women's team. And if there's another one beyond Morningside, I'm not sure who it is. But
Lewis and Clark State, didn't they send?
Did they send both of them also?
Yeah, the guys in the Dewar bracket and the girls in that bottom right quadrant.
Oh, I see them down in Campbellsville. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that is a
Indiana Wesleyan sent both. Yeah, I mean, but just not many of these teams are sending multiple people.
So even congratulations to them all. And congratulations to NAIA getting it together. Even though they changed the format, they're taking 16 teams only to Kansas City. But at least they're taking teams to Kansas City. They're going to get this thing done. And we hope that the fans who are allowed to go, and it is going to be limited numbers and all of that, we hope that they're able to be there and have an enjoyable trip. And best of luck. We'll be back. We got things to talk about. Matter of fact, tell you what, we're going to talk a little more Benedictine basketball. We come back, we're going to visit with Lady Raven head coach Chad Folsom. He'll be back with us in segment 3. Sports will continue right after this. We got Chad Folsom, head coach of the Lady Ravens, with us. And coach, the season has come to an end, maybe earlier than we would all have liked, but you know what? It was a fantastic year for the Lady Ravens, I thought, this year.
Yeah, it was. You know, we dealt with a whole lot of things this year that I don't think any other team's ever had to deal with, and just all the COVID protocols and and everything like that, and you know, not having worked out all summer due to the pandemic, and you know, the ladies really had a wonderful year. Yeah, we played well all season, and you know, we're able to stay healthy all season, and you know, played really well. Finished tied for third in the conference, and arguably one of the best conferences in America, and it was a great year.
And made a trip to the national tournament, kind of a bit of a long road trip for you to Florida, but again, that's a great honor for this group.
It was, you know, one of the at-large bids for the national tournament, one of 11 to get in, and yeah, they sent us to Florida, which was a heck of a fun time to go down there. You know, we could have been anywhere in the country and happened to get sent to Florida, and you know, we got down there and played Xavier out of Louisiana, a game we didn't really play our best, but our ladies, like I said, it was a nice reward for a great season, and we did get to spend some nice time together in the Florida sun and 80 degrees and beautiful weather down there for 3 or 4 days.
And, you know, as you reflect on the season, you're going to think about, you put 4 players on the conference, all-conference team, and I tell you what, that's not easily done. Not a lot of schools can put 4 on there.
True. You know, and we think about it, we graduated 4 starters from a year ago. Only had Skylar Washington was the only all-conference, so, you know, player we had coming back. And then to have 4 of them step up this year, you know, with Natalie Samarin being a first team all conference and arguably one of the best posts in the conference. And then Skylar Washington being second team. And then Allie Brzozowski and Allie Kramer, a freshman, were both named to the honorable mention team. So it was a great honor for all of those ladies and a testament to, you know, our whole team and what they're able to accomplish this year.
Coach, you've talked about it, kind of led into this. It's been an odd year in so many ways. First of all, you've got to be very proud of your team and the school and administration and how everybody bought into the program that kept people healthy and well and allowed you to participate more than many, many schools were able to. And we also have a senior group that has an option. I'm not looking for, you know, any inside information as to who's coming back, but what's the kind of the timeline? When will you know? Because that has to impact your recruiting a lot, I would suspect.
Yeah, you know, to answer the first question, I guess about buying in and, you know, wearing our masks and, you know, practicing, you know, we practice 60-70% of practice with masks on and, you know, driving the bus everywhere we went, never eating on the bus, just trying to do everything we could to stay healthy. You know, it's a testament to our team and the school, as you said, you know, the men's program and our program never were shut down the whole year. You know, unfortunately, neither were the teams we were supposed to play at the times we were supposed to play them. So we were able to get in every single game. We didn't have to reschedule anything, which really worked out well. You know, throughout the course of the year, we were able to stay to a pretty strong routine, you know, each week and preparing. But, so yeah, it was a great testament again, like you said, to the school, to our both programs and the coaches and players and how they bought into what we needed to do so that we could play. You know, that was the bottom line. We all wanted to play, we wanted to play our games, and we had to do certain things just so we could give ourselves that opportunity, and they all did it. So that was pretty amazing and pretty awesome testament to the team and the school and everything. But as far as what you're saying about, you know, players are allowed to come back, you know, that nobody was because of COVID, every college in America is allowing their athletes the opportunity to not count this season and, you know, and come back if they'd like for a fifth year because this year they're, you know, didn't count in their eligibility. But, you know, we've got 4 seniors this year and, you know, 3 of them were already kind of have their life plan kind of lined up, you know, so we knew, you know, they're planning to move on and graduate, and we're happy for them. And, you know, going down the list, I mean, Bryn Mall is going on into dental school at Creighton University. So, you know, that she's got a great opportunity ahead of her. And then Sam Brennan is a nursing student, and she's going to have her BSN at the end of the year. And I think her plan is to move back home and get a job at a hospital. She's also engaged to a young man from that area, so I don't think she wants to spend another year away from him. And then Jane Pennefather is, you know, has been lining herself up to be an officer in the Marines, and she's actually last 2 summers been going through boot camp and doing everything she needs for that. So that's her plan after graduation, is to join the Marines, be an officer in the Marines. And I think ultimately she wants to be a Marine pilot. So they all have, they've all got a life plan and they're all heading for it. And I'm happy for all of them, you know, and that opportunity. The one gal that's on the fence right now is Natalie Samarin. And she's trying to figure out if she wants to spend another year at school and, you know, get a few more classes, in, or maybe a secondary major or under, you know, a minor. But, she's still sorting that out right now. We're hopeful, you know, if she decides to come back, of course, that'd be an awesome, person, you know, an awesome person to have for another year as first team all conference player. But, you know, we're kind of waiting and seeing on her right now. But, that's kind of where we stand, I guess, with all four of our seniors.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you taking time, you know, to visit with us a little bit. We appreciate how hard everybody has worked. And, again, Lady Raven basketball, very bright. Oh, and we'll reach back maybe just briefly. Recruiting, see, that's always an ongoing thing. How's that going for you? Pretty okay?
Yeah, that's another thing you're right. You hit on in that question. Before we even found out about this extra year, we were already on the, you know, recruiting trail all summer and this fall, and we had signed four freshmen, so we have four freshmen already coming in for this next year, and we're excited about all four of them. I think they're all going to be great players for us. So you know, but you're always looking and still trying to improve things, and so you know, I wouldn't say we're done, but we are. You know, recruiting is an ongoing process; it goes on all year, and even, you know, looking forward to the following year, trying to get players and that. So we're continually, you know, looking at players and trying to recruit good talent and good people to our program.
So just so the fans understand that, just because the last game of the season has been over for a few days, it never stops.
No, not at all. You know, we have, you know, our team is on some downtime now, which is well deserved. And, you know, when you've been at it from the beginning of school all the way till now, you know, we're going to be off till after Easter before we do anything with our current team as far as getting in the weight room again and, you know, getting back to playing some pickup and those things. But we're going to not do anything till after Easter break for that. And I think they're all deserve, you know, need that. We all need that at this point, having been together and going at it since September 1st. So it's a long season, and it's nice that they're able to get a little time here to be a college kid, and they got spring break coming up too here in a week. So it'll be nice that they can, you know, go home or do whatever they're going to do on spring break. So,
well, Coach, we appreciate everything that you do, and I would also encourage you to just take a minute and kind of grab your breath as everything continues to go. And we will look forward to staying in touch, and we wish you a great summer. Look forward to next season already.
Sounds good. Thank you, Tom, and thank you to you and Gus for. You know, putting us on the air and being the voice of both the men and women's basketball teams all season. We really appreciate everything you do for us.
Hope you're enjoying your Thursday evening. We're glad to be with you here on KAIRFM Horton Atchison. Guys, we'll take a break from talking basketball for just a moment to talk about baseball. The Kansas City Royals did drop a game yesterday to the Dodgers, but 12-5 in spring training. And I texted you a list, I think, yesterday of all of the areas in which the Royals lead statistically of all the teams going on around. And, man, it's a lot of them. This Kansas City team has been absolutely outstanding this spring. Now, how does that translate? No, I can't begin to say, but you know what? It's a good start. How about this? Kansas City, 12 wins. They lead all major league teams. Run differential, they're plus 35. Runs, they've scored 91 runs. They've scored 6.1 a game. I mean, that's incredible. 135 hits and 259 total bases, 29 home runs, 62 extra base hits. Team batting average is 282, slugging at 541, and OPS of 890. If they could maintain those numbers all season, we'll be watching them play in October.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just the biggest question, is can they keep some of these numbers up? I think home runs is maybe a number that a lot of people are really looking at right now, because you added some home run hitters and the way Jorge Soler has been knocking the ball out of the park, too, has been a real positive
can
for
he,
Royals fans.
Can he break his own record?
Yeah.
You really think?
Yeah. Like,
what did he hit? 40 what? One?
When it, it was early 40s, yeah. I mean, I would say less than 45, but you just watch him. He has such a, I don't know, just such a perfect swing for hitting home runs, right? When he hits it, everybody knows, like, the ball's not skimming the top of the wall. When he hits it, it's gone. Or he's going to strike out, right? I mean, it's one or
okay,
the other.
So this is like what Ralph Nolan used to tell me when I was in his golf class at Benedictine. Sweet swing. Don't try to hit the ball. Swing through it. Just a sweet swing. So that's what he's got.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and he's fun to watch. I think we continue to talk about for the Royals, you know, having their run differential up. Right now the pitchers have been kind of the story and trying to figure out where exactly your bullpen is going to be because you have so many arms right now. It's a good problem to have for the Royals. So, I mean, they've got a lot of problems, but the thing is, most of them are good problems, right? Like what Bobby Witt's doing, how your arms are doing in the bullpen, your starting pitching. I mean, you've got a lot of things to figure out, but you've got a lot of pieces there to do it with.
This is the best Royals spring training record since 2015. I'm trying to remember if there's anything about the 2015 season that stands out for me that would make that extraordinary.
Mm-mm, yeah, I can't think of anything about
it. Well, that said, good job for Kansas City. Now, but the problem is, we talked about it a little bit before, and I think it needs to be brought back up because now it's really getting a lot of run. This is making it harder and harder for the Royals to trim that roster. They're kicking, you know, a guy or two here and bumping a little more room and a little more room, but they got to make some final cuts. And there's some guys who they're going to have to make some hard decisions. Who's going down?
Yeah, and you know, you talk about the general manager and some of the front office people, and this is when they earn their money, right? Trying to make some of these decisions, and at the end of the day, it's who are you sitting down and just beating the table for and saying, I've got to have this guy. And I'm going to tell you, there are going to be 3-4 guys that the Royals cut and that don't make the final 26-man roster that are going to catch on with a lot of teams because there are just some really good players that, you know, especially bullpen arms.
So wait a minute. So what you're telling me is the Royals team has got enough talent that they've got guys they're going to cast to the side that other teams want?
Yeah. I'm telling you, especially bullpen arms.
Yeah?
Because I think you've just got so many, and the problem is, you've got a lot of young arms down in the minor leagues that I think that are going to see time. So then, your starters this year, like, if Duffy makes a rotation, by the end of the year, Duffy's going to be in the bullpen, because you're going to give way to a Daniel Lynch or an Asa Lacy.
Okay, so, you know, for Kansas City, I mean, part of the problem is you're walking that fine line between keeping the fans happy, because there's some people the fans want to see on this roster, mm-hmm. and keeping maybe Mike Matheny happy and winning more games, because that, you know, the guys you want to see play are not necessarily the guys who, early in the season at least, are going to make you a winner. And those wins, and I tell you this year in and year out, and you're tired of it, the win in April, same as the win in September.
Yep. Yeah, and that's just it. But the problem is, you got to win those games in April to keep yourself in it. Because if not, if you're not winning those games, you come to the trade deadline. How many times have we seen the Royals get to the trade deadline, trade off some pieces, and then have one of the best Augusts or the best Septembers in the bigs? Because they tend to do that as they get towards the end of the year. But the problem is, then they got themselves in a 20-game hole in April, right? And so you're... We talk about in basketball all the time. You're pushing that ball up the hill the entire time, and you're just never to the top.
Well, it's going to be an interesting time, and Royals fans, good news. A lot to look forward to. Talk about a lot to look forward to. NCAA tournament's getting ready to get underway. As a matter of fact, there'll be play-in games now.
Play-in games
now.
Are tonight, yeah.
Yep. And have you done your brackets?
I did. I actually sat down one day and did zero research, just started clicking names and seeing what I came to. And no shock, I've got Gonzaga winning it. I was a little surprised somehow I had Ohio State making the national championship, but I don't know. I think my final four was Gonzaga, Ohio State, Michigan, West Virginia. Do I think it'll happen? Probably not, because usually I get these things wrong.
Well, and again, this will be an easy year just to take ones, or ones and twos for sure, because there are some super, super strong teams with Gonzaga and Baylor being a couple of ones. They're phenomenal.
Yeah, but I think Baylor might be, and you're going to just like probably fall over when I say this. I'm not sure which one goes out first, Baylor or Michigan. I wouldn't be shocked if both of them go out early, because Baylor, since they got hit with COVID in early February, they've just not really been the same team, right? They lost to Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse. Then they turned around and lost to Oklahoma State in the Big 12 tournament. I mean, they've not been as sparkling as they were through the first half of the season. But again, I think they're so loaded up with guard play. And when you come to the Big 12 or the NCAA tournament, it's all about guard play.
And two Big Ten teams getting number one seeds.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely stunning to me.
Yeah, two Big Ten teams in Illinois and Michigan. And what? I mean, we probably haven't talked about Illinois basketball since the year Bruce Weber took them to the Final Four with Bill Self's senior class, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was like that last class that Illinois had. So, again, it's good for basketball to see Illinois right there.
Well, right now, though, here's what's important to me. I love the underdogs. Let's go to the Final Four in real quick. I got Appalachian over Norfolk.
Okay.
I've got Wichita State over Drake. That's a gimme for me. I've got Michigan State, because I'm an Izzo guy, over UCLA. And if I go against Sister Jean, you know, a lightning bolt will come down from the sky. So I'm Mount St. Mary's in at Texas Southern, you know, because I like the Mount. And then, you know, Sister Jean, I think that she's got to be excited to be there. I'm tickled to death for her.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great stories, right? Like Drake.
So many good stories.
State should be a good one. I mean, 30 years ago, if I told you that UCLA and Michigan State would be playing each other for the right to get in to the Field of 64, you'd have thought I was crazy.
Right? Here we go.
I mean, you're talking about two of the bluest of bloods right there, and they're in a playing game. So, but again,
there are also blue bloods who are not even in a play-in game.
Yeah, I mean, you see what Duke and Kentucky are both at home right now. You know, North Carolina in 8 seed. And everybody talks about Kansas and how bad of a season they had. But you look up and they're a 3 seed.
It's a terrible season for KU fan when he's a 3 seed.
Right. I mean, that just shows you how high they set the bar every year.
And we talked about this, you know, in your lifetime, barely in your lifetime has Kansas not been in the national tournament.
Right, yeah.
With how many years in a row now?
31, wasn't it?
31
and,
years.
You know, what was the other record I sent you the other day that they've been a 4 or better like 16 straight times or something, I think, ever since Bill Self has been there. So, again, it's just kind of crazy, but Kansas is going to be in that West bracket with Gonzaga. I'm telling you, that West bracket is loaded up with Gonzaga, Creighton, Virginia, watch out for USC, Kansas. I know you like your Wichita State, Iowa. I mean, that is the West is probably the best bracket if you're going top to bottom.
So I would tell you that I'm not really like Wichita State, but I think they bump USC and get to play Kansas.
I'd be fine with that.
I would be tickled. That would be a tremendous game.
Yeah. You know, and I watched Wichita State the other day against Cincinnati.
They have they've gone through the little turmoil early in the year, they are they're dialed in.
Yeah, and
they're pretty good.
These guys seem like they're really excited about their new coach, and they really like playing for him. So, hey, you know, I'll pull for Wichita State there.
So, there you go. The NCAA tournament underway. KU will play Saturday just past noon.
And by the way, Alabama being a 2 seed in basketball, I have zero faith in Alabama. I don't know. It's just something about Alabama playing
basketball. You got a 15 over them yet?
No, but I probably could. Iona? Yeah, I don't have any problem with Iona, but yeah.
The Kansas City Chiefs, we always have to talk about them a little bit because they're just fun, but they're adding names. People I don't know anything about us, but they're trying to get some protection on that front of that offensive line. They're spending money and bringing in bodies.
Yeah, you know, they spent, and people talked about, oh, the Chiefs are over the salary cap by about, what, $13 million, $17 million, I believe it was. Well, Patrick Mahomes had a a rider that he could roll over to a workout bonus that all of a sudden got them under, and then they renegotiated a couple things, and next thing you know, they had $20 million to spend.
And I hear Travis Kelce's also reworked his.
Yeah, they were talking about Travis Kelce. They're also talking that, you know, if Tyrann Mathieu redoes his contract, which it sounds like they're trying to lock him up for a longer term. I'm telling you, it's monopoly money when you come to the NFL, because I don't understand how some of these things happen, but, you know, last year Kansas City was, what, $77 or $21 or something, and they signed Patrick to $500 million. They signed a huge contract to Chris Jones. So, again, though, Kansas City, 5 years, $80 million to the best guard out there on the market, Joe Tooney from the Patriots. Then they go out and bring Kyle Long out of retirement.
And people, they think Kyle Long, who's he? Well, you've got to put it in perspective, that's Howie's boy.
Yep. Yeah, one of Howie's two sons that are in the NFL. Kyle, a great offensive lineman. But the thing is, he's played a lot of guard in his career, but they're saying that, you know, maybe even shift him out to a right tackle and 1 year up to $5 million on that. And I saw, was maybe Jay Glazer, somebody, you know, not him, but somebody around him said that he's healthy, he's happy, he's shredded, and he's nasty. And I'm like, I like all of those things for my offensive lineman, right?
Right. But you need some more offensive linemen because you still don't have tackles.
You still have no tackles. I mean, you've got Lucas Niang, who sat out last year. I think Kansas City's really putting a lot on him. I think at some point the ball drops and you're going to grab up one of those tackles that are left. You know, maybe a Riley Reiff, maybe an Alejandro Villanueva. But you got to do something.
Is a Canadian doctor back?
Yeah, but, you know, again, that's one of your other guards, yeah. You know, and I think that's why you're going to probably see Kyle Long slip out to, you know, right
enough?
Tackle. Yeah, he's probably big enough, and so.
Not left tackle, but maybe
no,
on,
yeah,
the right,
yeah,
side. Put,
yeah,
him on
the
right
side. And I think you put Lucas Niang maybe over there. And Kyle Long could also help you with depth. I mean, because he plays a lot of positions, so he could swing over if you need him to. Or
are you surprised that they kept Williams and cut Williams?
Yes and yes. Like, I was glad that they kept Darrell Williams, because I felt like in the playoffs he was probably your best running back, and he's solid, right? He's big, he's strong, he's going to finish near the goal line. I was shocked that they got rid of Damian Williams, which tells me they've got an idea for a second running back, you know, or maybe they're just going to let Darrell do that.
And so Damian plays for somebody next year, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, with the way he played in the playoffs 2 years ago,
oh, yeah,
and was huge for Kansas City
in the
championship, yep, and things. So, yeah, I think he'll definitely find himself on a squad. But, I, you know, everything you read, he was almost a little blindsided by it. Didn't expect to be cut by Kansas City, especially carrying such a low number of, I think they were only paying him like $2
million
this year.
Only?
Only $2
million.
$2
million. So anyway, and draft is coming up, you know, next month. So the NFL draft and the virtual camps are all going on. It's all kind of fun stuff.
Do you really care about the Illinois wide receiver who had his pro day yesterday, had a 46.5-inch vertical? It's the new,
wow,
new record. But I'm like, Do people really go, man, that 46.5-inch vertical is going to get me to sign this kid?
Yeah, probably not.
I mean,
now, that 4.2,
yeah,
is going to get you to sign him.
There you go.
Hey, we want to thank our fantastic Sports Look sponsors with Gerber Electric, Mueller's Locker Room, Exchange Bank, Skyway Vapes, Taco John's. Upcoming sports schedule on Care Radio. It is an open week, but then we've got football coming up. We've got Sports Look next week. We're going to bring all of that information to you, and we get back with that. But between now and then, for our Gus Couch, Tom Couch saying, so long, everybody.